The following program is intended for mature audiences only. It contains realism, truth, and opinion. You must be over 18 years of age to listen to this broadcast. Consider yourself notified.
They're hindering us. They have destroyed shows. They have silenced you. They are suffocating your expression with their silly rules. Find out who they are and what they are doing to you. To us. It's happened. It's Until Forbid. And it's the Fabulous D Show. And it starts right now.
I never saw a place like this in my life.
And that's why I always say Internet's first superstar, because who the hell is left? I might not have been the first, but there's nobody from back then who's still, you know, sitting in front of their computer so fervently, because I still am.
And I'm just looking up a lot of synonyms for fabulous.
It's like she is. Once you start, you can't stop. You know, it's like fear.
That's why this program is for anyone with a brain in their heads.
That somebody found a potato that looked like Elvis, and then like a week later somebody found, I don't know, a breadstick that looked like Jesus. What's wrong with people?
And most serial killers run around, you know, oh, they thought they were God, they thought they were Jesus, so, you know, they go out and kill 10 or 20 or 50 people.
It's lonely being this fucking smart man.
Of all that does not contain or pertain to you, yourself, your life, distractions, also known as landmines.
Oh, that sounds fun!
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
You mean really? Really? Can I really post consults in chat?
Scare the shit out of a Catholic, all they have to do is, you know, create some kind of, you know, revelation. You know.
Always from the right state of mind.
Can I say that on here?
Is this really necessary?
What people don't understand, let's do that.
Good evening, Manchester. Good afternoon, Los Angeles. Hello, New York. And good day, Australia. We do apologize for this interruption, but our chats are most important. Ladies, gentlemen, and those who have yet to make up their mind, if ever, it's the Fabulous D Show, Unearthing the Underground, the show for anyone with a brain in their head. I am the artist D. Vanilla Child is in her corner.
Hey.
How are you this fine evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fabulous.
Are you?
I am. Is that
as
a surprise?
Yes. Exactly. No, it's not a surprise at all.
Good.
I'm just teasing.
I would hope not.
It's been a crazy week.
Hasn't it, though?
Yeah, the heat, I think, is finally starting to go to my brain.
As is with myself and apparently many other people.
Ugh, it's just awful.
All I can hear is, you know, heat attacks the United States.
Oh, I know. It's like, how would anyone live without air conditioning these days?
We wouldn't get by very well.
No, we'd be a bunch of cranky motherfuckers.
Very, very. And everyone else would kill each other.
Yeah, exactly. Which would mean a lot less idiots roaming
it would.
The streets.
Perhaps this is what has... Air conditioning has helped save the population and accumulate so many people. Because otherwise they would just kind of suffocate each other.
Well, I probably, because if it weren't for air conditioning, I wouldn't want to be having sex in this shit.
No, we'd all just sit on the porch, on the veranda, fanning ourselves under the Hank blue sky, drinking lemon drops and watching cousin Abernathy out on the lawn.
Watching the Andy Griffith Show.
Yes.
No, I think I'd rather be out running around in the woods looking for a nice, cool stream to play in.
Yes. Can you imagine that, like,
women in the old South used to, you know, dress all up and sit on the porch in several layers, fanning themselves.
Oh, my God. No, I can't imagine that at all.
And we're, like, half naked and still can't handle it.
That's probably why they were so thin-waisted.
Probably. They sweated it out.
Yeah, sweat it out.
Goodness.
There you go. It's a plan to make America thinner.
Absolutely. Dress yourself up in a corset and sit out on the porch.
That's our big conspiracy for the year. America is altering our weather as to make Americans thinner.
Exactly.
By making it hot all year long so that we just sweat constantly. Can't gain weight if you're constantly sweating.
It's true. And people keep saying, you know, that it's summer. What else is new? But really, apparently, these are record highs since, like, the 1930s or something crazy.
No, it is very new. I think we're coming into some sort of shift in, like, seasons where, you know, what once used to be winter will now be fall. And, you know, everything's going to be a season behind, I guess you could say.
Well, that would be awesome. Definitely.
It wouldn't take that much of a shift, but not for people, but more for what it would do to the vegetation and the animals is a bigger concern.
Right. Well, and you know, it definitely is hot, and it's getting to that point where it's getting old again.
It is getting old.
And it's only the beginning of July, but July basically is almost over for all intents and purposes. So, you know, we're almost through. August will kill, and then September. Ah.
Yeah, and the sun is only just starting to really rear its ugly head.
Yes, it keeps exploding with those flares.
Well, we had an X-class, I think, 2 days ago that was, like, directly coming at us. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on with the sun.
And if that wasn't bad enough, then the startling news that Anderson Cooper is gay.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe it?
I can't. I had no idea.
No, none.
None at all.
Surprise.
Not an inkling.
Not an inkling, no. That's
and
pretty
Kathy
much.
And Kathy Griffith had nothing to do. Like, I never would have guessed from the way she talked to him. She kept his secret quite well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was one of those things. Everyone knew, but nobody needed to say. Then there's the whole debate on whether anyone has to say anymore, but he did say it in a very non-interesting way. It was like, as you know, I am. So it's like, yes, yes, you are.
Good for him. I just read that a congressman just got married to his male partner.
Oh, Barney Frank.
Yes.
I love Barney.
Thought that was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Making some headway.
He's done some fabulous things. I know lots of people will disagree with that statement, but I like him.
Well, it sucks because he's going to retire after this term. But it does seem like he's made some strides because that's pretty cool.
He has. They've done several articles in a positive light on him for gay rights and all that, so he has done something, although some say, of course, otherwise.
Well, there will always be the otherwise people.
There are. So how was the July 4th? We had the holiday in the middle of the week here in America.
I don't know. It fucked the whole week up.
Really?
Because things were pretty much normal on Monday and Tuesday, except a lot of people that I knew had off on Monday. Because
they
extended the weekend.
Oh.
And then, of course, that whole government thing on Wednesday. And no banks, no mail, no anything in the middle of the goddamn week.
Right.
Who needs that? Now, gas is going back up again like shit balls. It was down to 307.
Wow.
Now it's back up to 3.25 already.
307 here feels like, you know, 2005, if we ever saw that number again. We're like 340, and this is low, 340, 370.
Well, we were just under $4 a few months ago.
Yes. I don't think it ever got over 4 here.
Yeah, we didn't quite get over it. We were at like 390. I mean, just there. Just, I mean, if you went premium, yeah, you were over $4. But if you're just putting basic gas in your shit, no, but I don't know, dude. Fucking world might be coming to an end.
It's true. But did you, and I agree, Wednesday was a very fuck up thing, because it felt to me I had a Monday and a Tuesday, and then it felt like I had another Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you reset your whole week, just that one day, how much it can throw you off.
Very much. And it was, so it made my week even worse, because I felt like it just kept, Groundhog Day, just kept starting over.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shitty effect.
It is.
Did I tell you about my excitement last week after the show?
I don't think you did. What happened?
Or maybe I told you about it last week. I don't know.
Maybe.
The fish.
Oh, you showed me. Oh, that's right. The fish. You did tell me a little bit that you got fish.
Yes, my daughter saved up her allowance and she wanted a fish tank. Because at the school, for a going away present for the year, they gave them a little fish bowl from the Dollar Tree, a little bag of food, and a little thing of stones. And a coupon for 2 free goldfish, which I thought, you know, they're not going to fit in there. So,
free goldfish.
We tested it with some crickfish, and of course they jumped out immediately. But I'm sitting there last weekend after the show, and Lewis looks over, and he's like, is there something swimming around in there? And I'm like, yeah, it's the fish. And we actually have baby fish. Leave it to my daughter to have babies. Picked out a pregnant fish.
Of course.
So I now have a tank with, like, one big fish and about 9 little ones, I think.
Oh, wow. So
I've never had baby fish.
Baby fish. So are they still alive? Did they eat them?
No, surprisingly, they're still alive. They've been hanging out in the grass at the bottom. I bought them some grass. And they come out when there's food. And they all come out at once. And the bigger fish, I think they're at the point where they can't really fit in his mouth anymore. So I think we're okay with that. But it's just, goddamn, I wasn't ready for all that.
Yes, that's a lot. I mean, well, it's like teen pregnancy. You're just not ready for that.
Well, exactly. You're not ready for it. And if, God forbid, one dies, then you know the kid's going to be all upset. So it's like, now my goal is to try and keep these baby fish alive.
I would like to see that happen. I don't think I ever, in all of my childhood, teenage life of having fish, actually saw one grow out of infancy. They die, they're eaten.
Yeah, me either, but it's been a week, knock on wood, and they're still in there.
Well, if they can make it to get a little bit meaty on them, then that's good. It's good.
In fact, sometimes, like, new ones will show up. I had one 2 days ago, I think, a little brown one showed up. I don't know where the hell he came from, but I named him Lulu because he's the only brown one in the tank.
After your boyfriend, of course, whom is also the only brown one in the tank.
Exactly. You know I like my brown.
Exactly. Well, that's a perfect
down
name for
brown.
The fish. But you didn't see any fireworks this week or anything?
Just those ones that we'll be discussing later.
Ah, right. And I didn't. Well, I saw a few at the time.
That was probably like the best show ever. Well, you can go like look out your window and see. I could too, technically, but they're pretty far away.
They were pretty close here. People like on the road were setting them off this time, so they were really close up, so it felt very special. It had rained earlier that day, so there were a few canceled, but yes, the San Diego Big Bay Boom was apparently quite a disappointment for some people because of a computer glitch. All of the fireworks in San Diego over the bay went off at the same time.
That's what they get for computerizing fireworks.
Yes, what happened to the little guy standing there with the little lighter?
I don't know.
Come on.
I mean, come on. You've been doing fireworks for longer than there's been computers. You don't need a computer to set off a fireworks display.
It's true. About 5 minutes before the show was supposed to start, a sudden burst of fireworks shot into the air near the bay, which I love how they kind of downplay this. It looks like World War III. There was three large nuclear-looking fire clouds going up around the bay. On downtown San Diego about 9 p.m. Wednesday. Hundreds of fireworks were set off at the same time. The explosion only lasted a few seconds. And then all the news reports, so disappointed, so terrible. I happen to disagree.
I would have thought that was amazing.
I would have been like, awesome. I am so tired of, you know, this long, drawn-out bullshit for like 15 minutes, then leading up to this very watered-down finale. So boring.
That's why I didn't even look at the thing this year, the schedule, because first off, nobody knew who was doing what when. I mean, they were so spread out because of the fucking holiday being in the middle of the week. Some people actually sent them off on Wednesday night, which I thought, who the hell wants to go see fireworks, deal with traffic, be out and all that shit? Because people, yes, people here drive to go see fireworks. I don't know if it's like that everywhere else, but people do that here. I know people that will, every night there has, you know, each town has a different display and they'll go from one to the other. And I just think it's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't have the desire to do that anymore.
No, me neither. And in the cities, I've been in plenty of major cities in the 4th of July, and I am ridiculously constantly disappointed.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's just, it's the same. It's something that you've seen it once. You don't really need to see it a million times. There's not much more advancement that I could see, unless you actually want to throw some actual nuclear weapons in there. That could make a fireworks display much better than it was when I was a teenager or a kid, and, you know, that was the kind of thing that I enjoyed.
Right. There should be, I mean, it should be a 15-minute finale, completely.
Well,
you know, start to finish, that would, I would drive down there every time and see it. 15 minutes of a finale-like thing. No.
5 minutes of fireworks, and then 5 minutes of finale, and boom, it's over.
And the locals, the neighbors, are getting more interested in doing weird shit than the places that do them professionally. They're finding some more unique stuff than they are.
Well, it is a hell of a lot more fun to set them off yourself.
Apparently.
There's something about playing with explosives that is invigorating.
Well, it's much like playing with guns. It's just fun.
It is fun. It's very fun. And we especially in places where it's illegal, like here.
Right, and we use the word, you know, play very, very loosely. Not play with guns, kids. You shoot them responsibly, it's still fun. And you shoot fireworks responsibly as well, it's still fun. Just don't fire them into your garage as it goes chasing you around the garage.
Yeah.
That happened.
Don't do like we used to do and shoot each other with the Roman candles.
Exactly. That's not good.
That was fun, though.
Oh, my God.
Do you know how many of us almost caught on fire doing that?
I'm sure. I'm surprised none of you didn't.
No. By the time they'd actually get to us, they were just really hot. They wouldn't really be on fire anymore. But if you got somebody close enough, you'd come close.
Those spinny things, they chased me around way too much. I'll stick with the little paper snakes that just fizzle. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen those in years.
I know. And the little cannons.
The kids like those.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're good for New Year's.
I like stuff
they're
like that.
They're good to shoot at people.
Yes, they're okay. It's just the big ones that kind of scary, very scary. I don't like fireworks close up because of that. I mean, I prefer guns. I mean, that is a controlled discharge. Fireworks, not so controlled.
That's what makes fireworks so fun.
Yeah, you don't know who's going to get their eye shot out.
Right, it's like you gotta just light that fuse and run like hell. And good luck even seeing the fucking fireworks when they go off, because chances are you'll still be running.
Yes.
When it goes off.
That's
but
true.
It's fun.
Oh, so much fun.
Way more fun than a gun.
Say what you will.
Well, I don't have a gun, so. No.
But it
That's
is.
That's talking from experience and me talking out my ass.
So, in the news this week. Got some strange shit. Hotel replaces Bibles with Kindles.
Because that's productive.
Yeah.
To the Christian agenda.
Absolutely. Very productive. A hotel in the UK is swapping the traditional Bibles in desk drawers with some 21st century technology, a Kindle. For a 2-week trial period, the Hotel Indigo in Newcastle, England, has replaced hard copies of the Holy Book with electronic versions accessible through the Amazon e-reader, The Telegraph reported. Guests can also download other religious texts free of charge. Only religious texts. Other reading material can be purchased at an additional cost. We wanted to reflect this literary history in a very contemporary way, so we were offering guests the use of the cutting-edge Kindles preloaded with the Bible. instead of the more traditional hard copy Gideon Bibles that they would expect to find. Don't even think of trying to stow one in your suitcase when you leave. The cost of any missing or damaged Kindles will be billed to a guest's room, much like the towels.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, it kind of wrapped it up very well there. That wasn't so bad. I mean, it's a good idea to put them in there and then charge. If the hotel gets, like, a fee for what you download, kind of like the pay-per-view movies, that would be right. Fun. I don't agree with the whole loaded
And not only
Bible
that,
thing.
It would make more sense because then any one of any faith could go in there and get the material that they're looking for without actually having to look at a Christian Bible.
Then you don't have to be offended. I wonder how many Jews are offended when they go in and there's, like, the Christian Bible. Although I guess they're not too offended, but I mean, it's not the Torah.
I don't know. it would just be Jews that I would be thinking. The Mormons
would be very offended. The Jehovah's especially. The Satanists, definitely. Now, there's a good lawsuit. I have all of the religious texts for free. Do I have the Satanic Bible for free? We're going to need to add that on there.
You need to let them know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Send in suggestions from the artist.
Send in some suggestions. From one recovered Satanist to another. So we're getting lots of feedback via our new chat room, theartistd.com/chat. Everybody's in there, as well, of course, in Rainbow Makes chat room. I'm hearing a lot of stuff over there as well. So come in and join us, theartistd.com. Also, as if you didn't have enough fatty crap to eat this summer holiday, Burger King would like to make you fatter with their new Bacon Sundae. This limited-time soft-serve dessert took Nashville, Tennessee by storm earlier this year and is now available nationwide to satisfy every sweet tooth. Wait, they field-tested this in Nashville? Well, of course.
What?
The sweet and savory dessert features the rich and creamy vanilla soft-serve ice cream that Burger King is famous for, drizzled with chocolate fudge, caramel, and topped with bacon.
Why don't you just dump some salt in it if you want that salty?
Wait.
This is one of those... Men will probably find it yum. It's just like the fries and the ice cream thing. I never got that either. I never found that appealing.
No, not really. And this is complete with, as well as topped with bacon crumbles, it is complete with a thick-cut hardwood-smoked bacon garnish. And there were photos. It's basically a vanilla sundae with bacon on top. It is frightening.
It is frightening.
It can be yours for $2.49.
And now it's spread to the rest of the country.
Yes, apparently Nashville really enjoyed that.
It's like that damn Dorito taco.
Exactly. Is that still around?
Yeah.
Damn Dorito taco. I have not had one yet, but I've seen many people with their Dorito taco-stained hands. I know what they've been doing.
Well, I haven't had any yet either, but I've been known to buy those little bags of Doritos. Mm.
Yes.
And make walking tacos for the kids.
Walking tacos?
Yes, walking tacos.
What is a walking taco?
Oh, my God. You don't know what a walking taco is? Okay.
No, other than a taco with legs, I'm in the dark here.
Well, you can use Fritos or you can use, any kind of chip that you really want to use. But Doritos are my preference.
All right.
You take a little, you know what I'm talking about. They have the little single-serve bags.
Absolutely.
And they come in like a 12-pack. You get one of those. You make your taco meat, get all your toppings, whatever, and honest to God, you just open up the bag and toss all that shit in the bag. Crunch it up a little bit, stir it with a fork, and you eat it right out of the bag.
It's like taco in a bag.
It really is, but it's so good. We discovered these at football games. They make them at the high school football games.
It's like taco salad in a bag, in a Dorito bag.
Yes, so good. Wow. Much better than anything you will get at Taco Bell, trust.
I'm sure. And of course, because you make it yourself and it's a whole bag full of fun.
Mm-hmm. And you get leftovers. You know, you could eat tacos for days. I could eat tacos for days.
Yeah.
They never last that long here, though.
And I'm fine with the sweet following the salty. It's just when it's, you know, the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know. That picture just is like, that just gives proof that not everything is better with bacon.
No, not at all.
At least not to everyone.
Exactly.
And yeah. I used to be a believer that, yes, everything would be better with bacon, but
I'd be
never
fine
imagined
with
anyone throwing it in an ice cream sundae.
I'd be fine with bacon and then, you know, then the sundae. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome, but not
like
together.
Put the bacon on my cheeseburger.
Exactly. And then give me a sundae.
Yep. There you go.
I'm
we
fine
like
with that.
I don't know, normal Americans, I guess.
Yes, well, it's just such a gluttonous statement, really. Completely. Through and through. That now, cuz what are they going to do? I mean, they're going to go to Burger King and they have the new summer barbecue menu for a limited time at participating restaurants. I'm reading the thing. So, and it's, you know, a big barbecue-y, bacon-y, chicken, drizzled, covered, savory sandwiches. And then you're going to order your bacon sundae. So you're kind of having dinner and then dinner again with your, because bacon, I bet the bacon sundae is as many calories.
Yeah, and see, that's where they get you with all the calories, is all the toppings and the sauces and the ketchup and the mustard and, well, maybe not the mustard. It's probably the only one that really doesn't have anything bad for you in it.
Exactly. I wonder if they have it on the nutrition facts yet.
There's nothing nutritional.
No, I just want to know, because I bet it's like 1,000 calories or something.
It's like the only fact there is.
Yeah, that's exactly. They have it, you know, whited out or something. I love when they don't make it.
Oh,
obvious.
I'm just looking at this picture like, why can't that be chocolate chips? I'm grossed out by it. Oreo cookies,
chocolate
M&M's,
chips.
Something.
Yes, let's see. Let's see here. I'm looking through the nutrition menu. Nutrition. I like how they... Isn't it kind of odd that they call everything nutrition when it's really, you know, not nutrition?
There's no nutrition in it at all.
No,
I know.
No. Let's see. I think I'm to the... Let's see. The desserts.
They need to come up with a new name for that.
I don't think they've updated it. I don't see any bacon sundaes here.
It probably hasn't been updated since they brought it out.
Exactly. They want you to know, because it's a limited time, so you don't need to know that.
Exactly. You just look up the, you know, caramel next closest sundae and add on about 300 calories, and there you go.
Well, yes, the highest sundae is a 550 calorie.
There you go.
So there you go. Add bacon to that, because that's just your basic sundae. Add bacon.
And they give out pretty big sundaes.
They do. They're Burger King, after all.
Yeah, so it's a lot of food, a lot of calories, a lot of fat, a lot of carbs, a lot of sugar.
Yes, they're asking me to box up the sun and send it to England. Apparently, they're very depressed.
Yuck. You're just going to throw in some cholesterol with all that.
Absolutely. Moving right along. Largo teen shoots self during game of Russian roulette. The thrill of death in Tampa Bay.
Thrill of death.
Is thrilling.
Yes, because death is thrilling.
Absolutely, especially when you die. Surrounded by teenage friends on the back porch of his house, Thorin Montgomery was first up at a contest of Russian roulette. Unfortunately, his first try was a winner. Right away, the .38 caliber revolver fired its round, badly wounding the 17-year-old as he was rushed to the hospital Friday night. Keeping vigil, friends wrote wishes online that he might summon some sort of inner strength and pull through. Did anyone also comment and say, you stupid fuck? But he died around 3 a.m. Sunday at Bayfront Medical Center, and friends who now dedicated web posts to his memory struggled to reconcile how the teen with a bright smile and happy demeanor could possibly be dead. What's to
that
wonder?
Picture is very deceiving. I don't see a smile. In fact, the kid looks like Nick.
He does, yeah. He looks... He looks like our Nick. But our Nick would probably not... Well, I don't know if he would play Russian roulette
no,
or not.
No.
But
I don't want to believe that for a minute that our Nicholas would do that. But he does. He could be his twin.
Absolutely.
Creepy.
Very creepy. Very creepy.
Oh, I hope Nicholas is okay.
I hope so too. But, you know, these things, they happen. But why? Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. I never did understand that game and why people play it. I never would because that's the kind of luck I have. Like, I would get the bullet.
And you must be pretty, optimistic? Stupid? Optimistically stupid?
I guess. One or the other or both. I don't know. I think more stupid, though, than anything, because that's really dumb.
That is. But what must one think? What munch one person with a brain in their head? I mean, obviously, they don't have the brain in their head. But what is the brain they do have thinking? Sure, it won't go off. Couldn't possibly go off.
You're pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
There's a bullet in it somewhere.
And was his friends, the ones who were cheering him on Facebook to survive? Were they the ones standing around saying, yeah, go on? Or were they like, no, man, don't do it. It's crazy, man. Don't do this. I highly doubt it.
I doubt it, too. It's a shame. Kids are fucked up.
Kids are very fucked up.
Look, as if the internet's not enough, now they're shooting themselves for entertainment.
It is, but this is how, population takes care of themselves. If you're that kind of person...
That is true.
...who will shoot yourself in a game, I have little sympathy. Nor do I question how this happened. I am quite aware how this happened. You shot yourself, kid.
I think the only sympathy I really have right now is that he looks so much like Nick.
Well, yeah, I mean, he looks like a great guy.
In fact, he kind of looks like a cross between Nick and Ned.
Yes.
It's the hair.
There is a resemblance. It is the hair, absolutely. A Colorado man who was admitted to the hospital for a kidney stone received surprising news when the nurse came back with test results revealing he was actually a woman. Surprise!
I know, that's a hell of a surprise, right?
Absolutely. Denver photographer Steve Kresselis said he's felt a little different all his life. Just a little off. When I was about 6 years old, I started having these feminine feelings. But that was in the 60s. Wearing my mom's makeup, I thought I looked pretty. So, when he went to the emergency room 5 years ago, he wasn't too shocked when the nurse told him she found traits of both genders in his ultrasound results. He was intersex, meaning he had both male genitalia and internal female sex organs. The nurse is reading the ultrasound and says, "Huh, this says you're a female," he said. "It was very liberating. I had spent so much energy after the age of 13 constantly evaluating how people looked at me and acted towards me." Steve, who now goes by Stevie, said his wife and their 6 children accepted his new identity right away. That's nice of them.
Mm.
Yes.
Definitely.
But who knew? I mean, that's pretty good.
That is weird. That's quite a surprise.
And I'm sure he was... I don't know, it says, instantly relieved. I'm sure he was more relieved after they got the kidney stone out.
I would hope so.
Then he was relieved. Good God.
Cleared up a lot of things. Yes,
and
him.
He has transitioned.
He's pretty good looking, too.
Yeah, he's now living his life in female form.
I know, but they don't show us those pictures.
No. Well, there was one.
Was there? I don't know. Every time I open up the damn link, some music starts playing.
Yeah. There was one of him currently, from Steve to Stevie.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I must have missed that part.
And finally, to really close up the heat topic, and to make sure you all know it's hot, there are babies dying in cars. Because parents are... just as stupid as the 17-year-old who shot himself in the head. A baby girl died, and a toddler was in critical condition Saturday after they were left in separate vehicles in the Indianapolis area on a day in which the temperature hit 104 degrees, a record for the date. Greenfield Police Chief John Jester said a 3-month-old girl was found in a car at 3:35 p.m. the girl was pronounced dead at the hospital. Once again reminding parents not to leave their children in the car in 104 degrees with the windows rolled up. Hello.
Or in 4 degrees.
Or in 4 degrees.
Oh, you can't blame him, though. He is only 18. So he really can't be much smarter than the 17-year-old with the gun.
He looks as dumb as a stump, that's for sure.
He does look pretty dumb. And stone. I mean, if I were to be a judgmental type that could look at somebody and tell their intellect by their face, I would have to. It just screams stupid.
And somewhere I clicked to, they showed the mother as well. She didn't look all that with it either, though she looked a bit older.
Well, I was thinking that. He looks high.
Well, he looks very high, yes.
Such a shame.
It is very.
It's like your dog. Don't leave your dog in the car in the heat.
Exactly. I don't know yet again, what is the mentality? We need to talk to one of these people.
Really? You should get this guy. Exactly. He's 18. He'd probably be down.
Probably. What exactly are they thinking? And it's usually not just a couple minutes. Because that's true. If you left your kid in the car for 2 minutes, or even five, they probably wouldn't die. They'd right. be very uncomfortable, and that still is really, really bad. But, like, around here, I think I mentioned many, many summers ago, they handed out the poster to all businesses saying, you know, remember, and it was a keychain. They handed out keychains about remembering, if you remember to take your keys out of the car, you should remember to take your kid out of the car.
Yeah, that's like common sense.
And therefore, since they take their keys out and they see the keychain, you know, they're halfway to the grocery store and they're like, oh, yeah, little Bobby's still in the back seat. Let me go get him. How do you forget that?
That says a lot about society, that we have to be reminded by keychain.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well tie a ribbon around your wrist saying, don't forget, your kid's in the back car. Baking.
I'd probably still forget.
Billy is baking.
That's funny.
But, I mean, so it must have been a while. It's got to be a while for a kid to actually die.
So I don't know. I can't even imagine.
I don't understand.
Like, what one goes through in such extreme heat. Yes.
And then the kid, it was a toddler. Well, it was a baby. The baby, and then there was a toddler. Now, what's that? Like, what? What age? What's a toddler? Two?
You're usually about two. When they start walking is when they become a toddler. So 1 to 2 years old, they're becoming toddlers.
So did it not... Did it have no mobile capacity? Could it not... I mean, two-year-olds can crawl around. They know how to get out of things. Couldn't it... I guess it couldn't have got out of the car.
No, usually, no. Well, okay, and here's where it would be kind of fucked up.
I know nothing about children. This is how this presents this, but
the child was probably strapped properly into a car seat, which is a shame.
Right. So how long did they leave them in the car seat?
Yeah, because most little kids can't get out of those things. I mean, they design them so that they can't. Like, you have to push pretty hard on the buttons and shit. I mean, my kids, it took all of them till they were about 4 or 5 till they could actually get themselves out of the car seat. But this was only a 16-month-old, so really it's not even that much over a year old. Mm-hmm. It's not that old of a baby. It might not even have been walking yet.
Exactly. And, you know,
and if it was, it was just starting to.
They make a lot of noise, too. I don't know how you forget that.
Well, they do, but I imagine in that kind of heat. Well, I don't know. See, that one was found in, what, Ford Explorer? So that idiot probably thought, oh, well, it's a big car. It'll have plenty of air.
It won't bake immediately. I'll have, like, you know, 25 minutes to make this drug deal and get back in time.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I get in the car and we open up the windows and we're driving and I'm still hot. It's like, God, do we have any more windows we can roll down?
Exactly.
So, with the windows closed, like, I think I can only stand that myself for a few minutes. And if you're screaming at the top of your lungs, I imagine that would be using up a...
Yes, it would.
A lot of energy that must probably really, need to survive.
That would really suck to be baked.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because that's exactly what I would equate it to, putting a baby in an oven.
And in a car seat. You're baked. You're strapped down, and you're baking. How does that feel? Good God.
It's awful.
It is awful. And this may be a very, very terrible radio idea, but Lurkalot was telling us a story earlier. And I'm reading the story.
Okay.
She said she did her shopping because everyone was laughing, so I want to see. I want to see what they were laughing at. And that's why I say it could be a very bad radio mistake.
Oh.
When you switch to chat and read someone's story. Did my shopping today. Waited at the bus stop to get the bus home. There's a few of us waiting. It's Sunday, so there's a reduced service. Anyway, there's a guy stood there, out of it. Out of it. Oh, he was out of it. Must have had a bloody good night the night before.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the picture.
We watched his, oh, there's pictures. His trousers sail off his backside, round his ankles, and it took him several minutes to realize, wait a minute, how did that happen?
I don't know.
She just kind of cut right to it. I mean, they're standing there, they're waiting for the bus, and this guy's trousers sailed off. How do your trousers sail off your backside?
They just dropped.
Okay, so now, pulling up the photos, because she took a picture.
I would have, too. Would you not have taken a picture of that?
Oh, absolutely.
I think the guy next to him, he's like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
He looks so uncomfortable.
Actually, he
looks
amused.
He doesn't even look like he has drawers on. He's got, like,
yeah,
a shirt coming down over.
So he was just standing there, Lurkalot, and they just dropped?
Looks that way. Hmm. He looks oblivious to it.
But the old guy, I mean, he looks amused. He's like, oh, yep, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kids these days.
Interesting. Well, now
that's
we know.
Funny.
Things that happen around Lurkalot.
Did he figure it out, Lurk? Did he, like, pull him up?
I would hope so. He just stood there. He doesn't look too bad looking, so I'm sure... She's okay. She was all right. It was quite the show for everyone.
Oh, wow. Especially if he didn't have drawers on. I don't know if he had boxers or something on under there.
Yeah, that was definitely no boxers there.
Must have had the tighty-whities or something.
Probably. Those Brits. God. Anyway, we are here to talk about Until Forbid. And what that is, or means, is what they have done to us. To end certain Fabulous D shows and destroy certain Fabulous D shows. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. However, there's an update from Lurk. She said, well, I mean, if someone wears pants half hanging, oh, they were half hanging off their arse.
He was one of those.
Yes. And then they fall off their arse. And they're too rocked out of their tits.
He was a chav.
I should have said that. Rocked off their tits. One has to do what one must with a camera. He pulled up his pants about 5 minutes after they fell down.
Wow, I would have been taking a video, Lurk.
And she didn't walk in front of him to find out if he was wearing anything else.
I would have been the one to still bring it to his attention.
Oh, absolutely.
With the video camera now, like,
yes.
Dude, you do realize your pants are, like, on the ground.
First, I would have went around and took the picture. Been like,
I
you look like a really
shirt.
Awesome guy. Let me take your photo. And then, by the way, dude, your pants have fallen down. You're off. You're off your tits.
Oh, shit. Only in me. Where is she at, England?
Yep. And yeah, he definitely looks like a chav. And on that lovely note, we'll be back to talk about Until Forbid and all the discriminating copyright policies there are in place. Keeping you down right here on the Fabulous D Show. It's the Artist D and Vanilla Child. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Fabulous D Show on RainbowMixRadio.com.
Hi, Jeff. You rammed into me today, and I want seconds.
I want fabulous.
She's fabulous. She's funny. She's the Artist D. Hi, I'm Samantha Renee from Sunrise and Sammy. Heard every weekday morning from 8 a.m. until 12 noon Eastern Time. And you're listening to The Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio, where all the good songs have gone.
Transtastic.com. Totally free. Totally you. Tell everyone, and we mean everyone, about Transtastic.com.
Did you know listen to the Fabulous D Show? You did? Well, tell everyone else. It's fabulous. And the Artist D is too. Well done, Artist D. You're amazing.
Radio. Is that a furry in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's hotspotradio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's hotspotradio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
Oh, the further away I am from the human race, the better I feel. Even though I write about the human race, the further away I am from them, the better I feel. 2 inches is great, 2 miles is great, 2,000 miles is beautiful, as long as I'm able to eat. They feed me because I feed them. But I don't like to be near them. When somebody even brushes against me with an elbow in a crowd, I react. I do not like the human race. I don't like their heads. I don't like their faces. I don't like their feet. I don't like their conversations. I don't like their hairdos. I don't like their automobiles. I don't like their dogs or their cats or their roses.
Join Frankie D over the rainbow at the end of the Rainbow Show. He's playing war-era swing, standards, and pop classics. Frankie D is a doo-wop kind of guy, and we love him to death. It's the end of the Rainbow Show every weekday night on RMX. Visit rainbowmixradio.com to tune in and boogie to your heart's content.
Dorothy isn't here.
You want danger, huh? I'll show you what danger is, baby.
This is Mac Danger
and Cheddar
from Soylent Radio, where you can catch us every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a 4-hour mind-blowing audio thrill ride that'll rattle your head and rock your world right here on WildBunchRadio.com.
You have to fight for your right to
party all night.
We play a wide variety of music, comedy, and randomness from some of your favorite artists, as well as independent artists from across the globe you won't hear anywhere else. Plus, you never know who might drop in or what chaos might ensue, and usually does, right here in the studio.
Warning, Soylent Radio may cause mind-altering effects with repeated exposure and is not for the expletive impaired.
So join us every Sunday for another absinthe-minded journey into new realms of reality that is Soylent Radio. And if you're not tuned in, you might as well be listening to
www.loserbill.com.
And now, back to the Fabulous D Show with the Artist D.
That's me, the Artist D, and Vanilla Child. The Fabulous D Show, right here on Rainbow Mix Radio, also streaming to Transtastic Radio around the world. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hi. Before we get started, we have to say a, like, enormous, huge congratulations to our dear friends. You may have remembered Miss Fabulous DJ D from last week has been engaged to Taz.
Well, that was fast.
That was. Remember, she was going to meet her, so she met her, and now they're engaged. See how that works?
Congratulations.
Exactly. And apparently they're very, very happy. Romping and all that fun stuff.
That's good.
Yes.
I'm glad it worked out.
I'm glad it worked out, too. I'm always glad when things like that work out. So, I don't know if we'll be able to make the wedding.
She'll never go home now. Watch.
She'll never go home. She's stuck there.
Exactly. So much for every Thursday. Now it's every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Exactly.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, that's what I said. Won't be able to keep her away. At all.
Exactly.
Tonight's show is called Until Forbid. You may have heard me at the end of the show often say, we're here with you until forbid. Well, this show is dedicated to all the shows that have been destroyed due to the rules and regulations of the world. For those shows, Until Forbid has already arrived. We're talking about licensing and copyright laws in direct correlation with how it hinders artists from being, doing, surviving, eating.
I don't understand it.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yes, please do explain, because things have gotten very tricky lately, haven't they?
They have always been tricky and continue to get more tricky. Exactly. If there's any question, copyright laws allegedly protect an unauthorized copying of a work of authorship. Which makes sense. That's nice. That's lovely. It was governed in the U.S. around 1976. In order to clarify what was considered a work of authorship, they included a vague list, literary works, musical works, dramatic works, pantomimes, pictorial graphics, sculptural, motion pictures, audiovisual, sound recordings, and architecture works. What they meant to say was everything. The law was written in an ambiguous fashion and very broadly to avoid the need of ever rewriting or revising every time a new medium was discovered. Thus, the scope of the law covers World Wide Web and CD-ROMs. What's that?
Right.
Even though these did not exist at the time the law was written, and even though now one of them does not exist anymore. I kid, I know. They're around. There are basically two requirements for a work of authorship to be protected by the Copyright Act. The work must be original, the second, that it must be fixed, as in tangible. Interestingly, copyright protection attaches to your work the moment it becomes fixed. This is the part I like. There's no requirement to file an application or obtain acknowledgement from any official office or agency. You do not even need to place the copyright symbol anywhere on the work. It just is. That much I can appreciate. You create it, you put it out there, it's supposed to be protected from thieving little snots who want to take your shit and make it their own. And what I mean by that is duplicate it. That's all the protection I want.
Right.
Trademarks, just a little note about trademarks. They are a little different, but, you know, it's the whole T next to the name, like McDonald's arches, Nike swoosh, Google, Macintosh computer, Apple symbol. And the most famous trademark is the Coke bottle, in case anyone wanted that little trivia. Yeah. Trademark is a name, word, symbol, logo, slogan, or device used in commerce with products, goods, or services to indicate the source of origin of the products. Trademark rights, also granted by the U.S. Office of Patents and Trademarks, prevent others from using a confusingly similar mark or symbol for 10 years. And you have to renew every 10 years. So, people trademark some pretty crazy shit, but like the Coke bottle, you can't use the Coke bottle.
I know, and I heard they're redesigning it, like, all the time.
Probably. Got to keep
it fresh. To make it more appealing.
Of course.
I don't know. Visually, I guess.
Of course. What does it matter? I think it's a law blown out of proportion when it comes to duplication, quoting, rereading, the neo-postmodernism way of thinking about it. Because, like I just said, it's good to protect it. Like, you know. The work, as in my entire work, from being taken and renamed something but the same exact everything, that I don't approve of course, because who does? I mean, you know, you make something, you want to keep it. But
I mean, you took the time and the energy to create it.
Exactly.
It's yours.
But it seems like these laws, and what I've noticed, what I wanted to point out, is in this, you know, we've gone so beyond that to how someone then uses your work. Like, it's a use thing. This show is about a use thing. Because it's not about stealing it, it's using it. Like, if they were to post my book online, that would be bad.
Right.
Some might think so. I don't think so. As I don't really care. I think it's all publicity. But, you know, that's where the copyright infringement comes in, as far as you're posting my work. Ooh, how dare you. Even though everyone knows it's my work, which is kind of the problem. And in the 21st century, we've gone beyond the terror that if someone distributes your work for free, you won't get paid. That's the, you know, bottom line. But while that's true, it's still a problem. Artists still get paid for their work somewhere. Musically speaking, especially, it's the best, that's the best reference, because they tried to stop people from sharing music for free. They failed miserably. Now people still share music for free, and people still buy it. Artists still get paid. I'm sure they don't get paid as much, but yet do they? I don't know.
It seems like it.
Exactly. I mean,
most of them seem to be, well, I mean, because there's way more to it than just selling the music. I mean, they're selling themselves, basically. And there's endorsements and, you know, like 50 Cent, right. He went out and did the whole vitamin water thing. And
exactly. And that's why, did the music ever make the money? Probably not. At least, probably did the music not, yeah. Did the music ever make the money for the artist? It made the money for the company, for the label. But it didn't make, they didn't get any of that. They got it from the freaking Nike ad and promoting right. Coke.
But what they got from the company is the, right. You know, the influence.
Exactly. And the connections.
To be able to pick up that Nike ad or that vitamin water.
And now true supporters will still purchase it. I mean, there are some fans, even of popular mainstream bullshit, that they'll buy it just because they love the artist. And they feel they have that odd moral feeling that they're stealing it from what they're enjoying it, you know. Others say they can't afford it, so that's a whole other topic. But, the truer supporters will purchase it. And I feel like now that I've become so more indie with what I want and what I listen to, because it's rarely the Madonnas or the Gagas anymore. It's, you know, like Brett Gleeson, Imani Coppola. If I'm, you know, I know Brett, and Imani's on my Facebook friend page, and she feels real to me. She feels supportable to me. Madonna's also on my Facebook, but she doesn't talk to me.
Right.
So, I feel like I'm throwing my money away, but, you know, versus Brett Gleeson, I think I might be, you know, buying dinner for him, you know.
It's, right.
It's a different kind of thing. And the other thing is, I know that he gets all the money. Like, if I paid for his album, he would get the full $10, you know. Madonna would get a couple pennies after her label got a couple pennies, and everybody gets a couple pennies.
Isn't that awful, the breakdown?
It is. And it's incredible, the breakdown, especially since we've gone from this model in all business where it was booming, because nobody noticed the breakdown when life was good, and there was just money pouring in. And now, less money pours in, so that model is like pennies. And when you pay 99 cents for a Madonna song, you're talking, somebody got a couple pennies, and somebody got a couple more pennies.
That's true.
So really, is that what they're protecting? I don't think that's what they're protecting. Because you might as well give it away for free. Although I know that they'll, you know, have an issue with that.
And that's the weird thing, because if you're an established DJ, they will give it to you for free. Mm-hmm. You know, they have that, like, they want you to create something else with the music.
Right.
At your expense.
At your expense. And then they'll take that, and they'll sell that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I even feel better buying Amanda Lepore's album, and I don't think she lives off of her music. I don't know her from Adam or Eve, and, you know, quite frankly, she doesn't need it or get it. She gets it from showing up at a club, being Amanda Lepore, and shoving her tits in people's face. That's, you know, you all make your money from the endorsements of being fabulous.
Right.
Instead of
and see, that's
producing.
What I don't understand why people are so uptight about, especially the music, because I look at it like this. If somebody goes online, okay, if I was an artist, and somebody goes online and they download a copy illegally of my album, mm-hmm. and that in turn compels them to go buy two tickets
right.
to my next show, that would be enough for me.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, I would think like, okay, cool. Yeah, I might have lost a sale in the music, but I gained two right. sales in the ticket department, which is probably, you know, well, in some cases in the bigger bands where they're making more of their money on tour.
Well, and as far as I've learned, I don't know about the Madonnas, but I do know, like, the mainstream metal and heavy rock bands like Motorhead and those, they're very concert-oriented. I mean, they make their money from the concert.
Right. And that is how most of them make their money. Because then you're not going to go to the concert, you know, without some extra
exactly.
money to buy merch,
right.
which is another place where they're making their money. And they're making large chunks off of those. I mean, they're not. It's not like a couple pennies off of a ticket or off of a T-shirt, like is with the music.
And if you go to, you know, Madonna concerts are not more, you know, less than like $70, nosebleed. And nobody
insane.
Wants that. Exactly. And calculate that by hundreds of thousands every night. That's where the money is. That's why she goes on tour, because that's what makes money. And I think it's hilarious that some people actually accuse these artists of that concerts make the least money, when it's completely flip-flop. They make the most money.
Exactly.
Even after you pay everybody else. Because that, you know, concert takes a lot to put on, a lot to rent the space, but there's still so much money left over.
And I'm like you. I'm more compelled to actually give my money to the smaller artists, the more local underground artists, you know, because they're the ones that are more compelled to come out and actually interact with their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they appreciate the support.
Well, and like the perfect example is Brett Gleason, Derek Bishop, all the people that we know, especially through 4Culture now. It's like, you know where this album came from. You know these guys sat in their apartment and did it. And it's like, you know, if you take that from them, you're like, oh shit, you know, I just took their hard work away and I didn't give them anything for it except my love. But, you know, love don't get dinner.
That's true.
And I like Karen saying in Rainbow Mix that it's not stealing. Who else will advertise these people? And exactly. That's a good statement. You might as well have just said it's not stealing. It's advertising.
And in a way it is. I mean, one of the biggest ways to spread music is word of mouth, you know?
Mm. And
a lot of my musical influences are based on what my friends were into. You know, I don't know.
And we still have new artists now that are rich and famous and fantastic, and they haven't been around forever. So, you know, they've been around in this music-stealing era and have
exactly.
not been affected by
it. They're making money.
Mm-hmm. They're fine.
They have the money.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. So where really are they being hurt by us stealing their music? Mm.
I don't think they are, and it's interesting how they kind of made the file sharing issue an issue, and then they've kind of curbed it. You know, it's different now than it used to be, and it might have been considered out of hand at that time when it was so available, and it's still so available, but still there's just that curb, there's that iTunes curb in there, and yet that seems to have satisfied them completely. They're fine. You know, that's all they needed was that. They don't
yep.
need any further policing, although they do drips and drabs here and there, have been policing and punishing people. But really, they're fine. They're happy that now they have their iTunes and they have their services, they have their band camps that sell the music, and they're fine with that. So if that's all it took, that little curb, it really says that it really wasn't a problem to begin with.
I don't think it ever was. I think it's just something that Metallica blew out of proportion and
they certainly
so many people remember that. Yes. And it's still, you know, I mean, look at what it did to, oh, what the hell was his name? I don't even remember his name anymore. The poor fool that made Napster.
I don't know his name.
I forget his name. But I used to know his name.
Right. But that fellow, yes.
Well, I mean, but it was a great idea. He could have profited off of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, but he chose not to at the beginning. And then, of course, the corporations came along and bought it out from under him. And now what is it? Something that you have to pay for.
Absolutely.
Like everything else.
And, you know, if the
same just came
issue.
And turned his dream into something that, right. You know, the exact opposite of what he intended it to be.
The same issue that was before file sharing is during and now. The little guy will never make his bread and butter on his independently released albums. There's just no way. Because he's a little guy.
True, too. Yep.
And that's what we're waiting for, that one person to actually do it and, you know, make it. Because that would be a millionaire immediately. If Brett Gleason was, you know, top charts and they went on Bandcamp and gave him $10 for every album, he'd be in heaven. But that's not happening right now. I don't know why that's not happening right now.
There have been artists that have done that. Mm-hmm. Not many. I mean, there's few and far between. Like, I don't know, Tone was just having a discussion with me not so long ago about a rapper that basically made his millions off of mixtapes. Mm. And I guess, you know, you're good enough at it. You get known enough. Yeah, people will pay to be on your right. mixtape. And people do pay to be on mixtapes right. all the time. You know, even just a little mixtape that you've never heard of and probably never will hear of, they want $15-$20 to be on it.
Fascinating.
You know, you get 15-20 artists willing to toss in a song and $20, but then what do you do, you know, about their rights? How does that work?
Exactly.
Because, like, I imagine that would cause problems later on. Somebody's obviously going to be selling that mixtape eventually, right?
Exactly. And that's the rest of the story, is what then?
Right, which defeats the whole purpose of the whole DJ fair use thing, because they're not supposed to profit off of it unless it's live.
Right.
You know, you can profit off of a club set, but you're not supposed to be making mixtapes with copyrighted songs and selling them for money.
Right.
You know, I gave up on buying music, buying actual physical CDs when a spool of CDs, of 100 blank CDs, became as much as
one
copyrighted artist CD.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love how they made that such a big deal. It's not really anymore, but like they had revised programs to make it almost impossible for you to burn those mixed CDs. And then they really lightened up on that a lot now. And it was weird that that was such a big deal after we come from the 80s of making mixtapes and the 90s of making mixtapes for our friends.
Oh, I know. And back then it wasn't a big deal.
No.
I mean, I could put any amount of records I wanted on tape, and, you know, back then no one was saying anything about it.
Exactly. It's just suddenly when it went from terrestrial to digital, they're like, oh no, you can't do that.
I think it's because they thought maybe it was going to be a bigger cash cow than it might be, and, you know, they were hoping to put the nicks in it before it started, but you can't. It's the internet.
Well, because they were hoping that they could make as much money as they used to make, because I'm sure the big corporations and the IRA and all that.
That's true, without having to put in the amount of work that they have to. Because, I'm sorry, they're making more today than they ever were.
Yeah.
These guys are millionaires, billionaires. I mean, they're getting the money. I don't know where from.
That's where we don't get the statistics of now that people can get the money all the time. Anytime they want, online. Get the 99 cents every time. I bet some back-ass way that's making them more money than selling the one CD for $18 in 1999.
Yeah, I just don't understand that either. Like, it got to the point where you started to wonder, what exactly am I paying for? Because I know this little disc in my hand, physically itself, is only worth 50 cents, if
Absolutely.
That.
Oh, I remember.
The case that it's in is worth no more than a dollar.
And then it was always, you know, I always liked the unique ones, the ones who weren't popular, and back then it was like $25 a disc.
Oh, I know. And then the prices never came down.
Yeah.
There's still a CD still costs as much today as I remember it costing when CDs first came out. And that's sad.
I think it's weird. Like, when I see one of the more popular people release something and, like, it's a $10 CD, I think that's amazing.
Me too. Like, Frost, when he brought out his CD and it was only, like, $9 at Walmart, I was in shock.
Exactly.
Because it was amongst all these other $14, $15 CDs, and I was like, wow, this guy's just dropped the whole album for $9.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not making much off of it. And it was a great CD.
Yeah, but then that's something to reduce that, you know, the split from $10 to 99 cents or whatever. But then that's where they got them, because the iTunes model was perfect, because they set that up, you put your credit card in only once, and then you're hooked, you know. You're walking around and you're like, well, I need that, so I'll get that. And it's only 99 cents, and I wonder how much the average person spends on iTunes per month.
I have no idea. When I first got my iPhone, honestly, I've never purchased music for it. I've never purchased music through iTunes, just apps.
Right.
And I've never used a credit card. I will only put gift card information into iTunes. I don't trust it.
Well, that certainly helps cut back.
Well, I mean, and not only that, the kids always have my phone, and I don't want them downloading things.
Yeah, and how many people have their kids do that and put their credit card in there for them, and I wonder how that looks.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
That's really scary. To think of what I would have done if I was able to download anything I wanted back then.
I know, and it's funny because I keep having the same argument with my kids about this. It's like, you know, she gets upset because she can't find the fucking charger for the iPod, and it's like, honey, you will live another day or two without your fucking iPod.
Oh,
you know?
Try
to look back and remember the time when you didn't have the iPod.
It's air. It's the air they breathe.
It really is. There's something wrong. They're like being programmed, and it's not good. Programmed by technology. Imagine that.
Yes.
They don't learn any real life skills anymore.
Pretty much. And all the people who are making money from music, they usually, you know, they started writing it, but then they get picked up and they're paid ahead of time. And it's a lot of like writing a book where these publishers give you, they front you the money, and then you write your book. And especially in writing, in the world of publishing, there's so few really unique writers who get the money first, you know. And then once, if they are presenting a manuscript, you know, they're not going to pay $1 million for it. They'll probably pay $1 million for something you haven't written before they pay $1 million for something you have written.
Right. That's so
incredibly
weird.
It's one of the few places that I see that happens, like, rampantly. I mean, you know, here's $10,000, write a book, and take a year to write it. What says? You know, of course you'd have to pay it back if you didn't, but geez, you'll write it, because you're Snooki, for Christ's sake. They gave Snooki a book deal just because she's an idiot.
And then by the time you're done, like, writing the damn book, the money's all gone.
Exactly. And then
you spent the money writing the book.
And then you live off, if you're Snooki, then you live off your promos from going on talk shows and all that. You know, it's never the book. It'll never be the book.
Yeah, I never saw being a novelist, like, as very lucrative. I mean, maybe writing for a paper or a tabloid or something like that. But then you're not writing books, you're writing articles.
Because I could shop In Bed With Myself around and it wouldn't be picked up because I'm not Snooki, even though it's a damn good book.
Honestly, I can really only name two or three authors off the top of my head. You being one of them.
Well, it's true. And
well, that's sad, because you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And how's that work for them with these Kindles and shit now?
And exactly. And that's what I'm seeing, and that's what I keep getting pushed into, is that I need to revise this now and push it for the Kindle. And I understand that, but it just takes so much work to do that. And do it again and again. And what, you know, if I write another book, it'll go probably straight to Kindle. Which is.
Are you planning on writing another book?
I am.
Is it in the works?
It's in my head.
It's in your head.
That's what I'd like. You know, I wish that, because people seem to be very fond of the digital copy. And it's like, okay, we've come to a part now where it's like, all right, fine. I'll stop bitching about, what about the tangible? What about the flipping of the pages? Yeah, you know the argument.
Oh, I know. I can't read online like that. If I'm going to read a book, I have to have the book.
Well, that's why I was happy with the Kindle, because it's like, you know, the interface is bookish. I mean, your eyes are not straining because it's like a page.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like a book, and it doesn't look like a book, and it doesn't smell like a book. And
when you've got 1,000 pages read, do you feel as successful as when you've got 1,000 pages in a Kindle? I don't think so.
No, you don't, because you can't see that stack of paper there that you just labored through.
And I know this totally gives to my impatience, but I'm a flipper. I like to look ahead. I don't read ahead, but I look ahead. And like that Stephen King novel that I was just immersed in, it was amazing and it was awesome and it had me at every word. But I wouldn't be able to have gotten through it if I couldn't have. I get to the chapter and I'm like, okay, how long is this? And I always have to look ahead to see exactly how long the chapter is. Because I just can't. And with the candle, you just can't look ahead. Well, I mean, you can, but it's not as fun. And you just keep reading. And if it was this 1,000-page book, I would have just kept reading and reading and reading.
And never stopped.
And I would have probably gotten bored and thought, what the fuck? This is an awesome book, but it's not finished yet.
I don't know. I just like the looks of my books after I'm done with them. Mm-hmm. How they're all worn and blown out. Well, I take my books with me everywhere. They come in the car. They go in the bathtub.
Absolutely. And quite like that book that I read, the big, huge Stephen King book, I'll never read it again. And while it would look great on my shelf, I'll probably end up sending it to somebody else. You can't do that with a Kindle.
You can send it to me.
I could send it to you, yes. Somebody already called dibs, though. So
damn.
I'm the
biggest Stephen King fan.
And you would love this. I think you would absolutely. Especially because it's small town Massachusetts. You would love it.
Aren't most of his books, though?
They are. And you say you only can think of a few authors. I think I can think of a lot of authors, but I can't think of a lot of authors who deserve a fronting of, like, thousands of dollars to write a book. But Stephen King is definitely one of them.
Yes, he is. One of the other ones that I could think of off the top of my head.
They need to just keep giving him money, and he needs to just keep writing books.
Pretty much. Just lock him in a room.
Yeah. But yet again, there he has a resume. Snooki does not have a resume. You don't give people like that money to write a book.
That's
you give people like Stephen King with 6,000 books under him and 20,000 made-for-TV movies.
My thing was, you know, the gunslinger.
I know.
I didn't want it to end. I literally drew the last book out for a year and then discovered that he was writing another one. How about that?
That is awesome.
And I drug out the end of the book because I didn't want it to end, and then he wrote more. So
no, that's good, though, because then just as you had drug it out, then he gave you some more to drag it even further.
Exactly, because I didn't want it to end. Like, it's one of those stories that you just, once you get into it, you want more. And it's a story that could go on till forbid because there's just so much
absolutely
behind the gunslinger, you know?
And DJD is saying in Artist D chat that, what about batteries? Exactly.
And I was thinking that too. Like, you don't have to recharge a book. Thank you, D, because I wanted to bring that up. But that's another good point. You don't have to recharge a book.
No. And that's the scary freaking thing. And it was pointed out to me by my beloved husband, who you've heard in the background for the last 20 minutes. This week, we were discussing handwriting, writing, things on tangible paper. And, you know, he's very technological, futuristic.
Yes.
And he said to me that the only time he writes in the English language is to write his name, and that's too much. And while at, of course, face value, you might think, oh, what the fuck, you know. It's ridiculous. But if you took a minute, and I took a minute, and I thought, you know, that's true and terrifying, because I bet there is a generation, much like your children's generation, of where there will be no one writing or printing or anything. They will say,
just typing.
And the phrase, I don't write, as in I don't print or write, because now writing is printing. They don't even know the difference anymore. But knowing the difference, either one of them, they will not exist. And if a kid back then says soon, I don't write, it'll be okay. Because notes are digital, writing's digital, signatures are digital, you know, it's all digital. Even signatures are digital. So writing is just gone. Because they've stopped doing the cursive and handwritten, you know, the foofy writing. They don't teach them that anymore in a lot of places.
They do here.
That's good.
Surprisingly. They'll be learning cursive next year, third grade.
Here in the middle of everywhere, they have done away with it. They don't teach it at all. Which I cannot comprehend.
Yeah, that's just weird. I don't even know if I remember how to write cursive anymore.
I do. And that's kind of funny, because back in my day, when we were learning that, the complaints of the old folk were, I was being taught a sloppy cursive, and I was mixing between, because, you know, you kind of make your own, and that was wrong. But now, they'd be rolling over in their graves if they saw people didn't even know how, period.
Oh, I know.
Forget about mixing it up and doing it the wrong way. They don't know how to do it at all. I get a lot of contracts, and I see a lot of signatures, and people don't sign their name anymore. They just write it regularly.
It would be really nice if all those people that didn't know how to write didn't know how to talk either.
That would be interesting.
I think that should be a requirement of being able to talk, is that you must be able to know how to write what you're saying.
Absolutely. But imagine if your youngest, you know, when she's like 22, she's a fabulously successful person, and she's in a job, and she says to her employer, "No, I don't write." And
she'll just walk around and they're like, stamp.
Yeah.
And their signature.
But
on
then
it.
In the other side, the employer says, "Oh, of course you don't. 'Cause nobody does." It's all, I mean, that's why in these meetings now, everyone just comes with their pad thing, the tablet thing. And I think that's a terrible waste of time, because they're tippity-tapping away on a digital keyboard, and that surely must take more time than writing notes. But that is pretty much standard status quo. There's
well,
no
you know,
writing.
All these people wanting to save the fucking trees and shit, even though they grow back. Cut down on paper. Let's all go digital, so that way when the solar flares hit us, everything can be gone.
Well, it's kind of like we've skipped going digital with notes and writing, because we could have digital notepads, which we write on, and those notes are then stored. That
right.
would
well,
make
and
sense
see, that's
to me.
What, the true writer is never really going to let go of the pen and the paper.
No.
Like Anthony, he, you know, he'll use his little notepad on his iPhone just so that he doesn't forget something. He's not going to carry a pad and a paper or a pencil with him everywhere he goes. But when he's at home and he's writing in his book.
Right.
You know, and that's too many kids today are too just reliant on this digital shit.
Well, I think too many adults are as well. And that's why when I see 40 and 50-year-olds being converted to that lifestyle of digital everything, note-keeping, date-keeping, I think the kids are doomed, because this is the corporate world now, digital everything. And if the adults don't stand up for freaking get out a pad and paper and write, then the kids certainly won't, because that's just how it is. So that's very scary, but exciting to me and possibly to you, because that means that one day no one will be able to put pen to paper and print a letter. And that means that all books will be on digital format. And that also means that one day they will all disappear and people will look like cave people. Because they'll be like, how the fuck do I write this down for you? let me draw it on. Oh, here's a wall. Yes, let me draw it on the wall. They'll be cave people. Then I'll we'll have the leg up. It's just like when all people's comforts of living go away, we'll know how to plant a garden. They won't. And they'll be screwed. But this way, I mean, can you imagine a world where people do not even know how to print a letter on a piece of paper? Pens are gone. Stationery is gone.
That sounds awful.
It does. But it's exciting because then it all goes away. And I get to say, you idiots.
That's what you get.
That's what you get. And I don't mind saying that. Because I'm the Artist D. And this is the Fabulous D Show.
He'll just keep making more fabulousness.
Exactly. And okay. I'll do this show with a string and tin cans, broadcasting around the globe if I have to.
Well, shit, after tomorrow we might have to.
Tomorrow? Something happening tomorrow?
Well, yeah, that virus is supposed to go off. They're shutting off.
Yeah.
Kill switch.
I got that message and I thought, you idiots. But then I looked it up on Snopes and thought, oh my God, it's real.
It is real. And like some people are really speculating that that's exactly, it's like the emergency broadcast test that they did back in November.
Uh-huh.
But this one's for the internet. They just want to see if they can literally cut off the internet to these certain specific computers who are infected still. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the hell it is. I keep going to the thing to check my thing, and it says it's fine.
Well, I checked mine as well. Once I saw, because I got the letter from everybody with the link, and I'm like, it's a joke. The link is going to do it. It'll give it to you. But then I looked it up, and I'm like, okay, it's legitimate. So I went to the link just to see what it was about. And on a technical level, on my side of things, I understand what they're saying is going on. So it was interesting to see that link and see what it does. For those who have not heard, I guess the internet kill switch switches tomorrow, allegedly, and what, like, hundreds of thousands of computers are supposed to be infected and not be able to access the internet and all sorts of
Yeah, and they make it sound
things.
Like a lot of these computers have been infected for years. Yes. And, you know, rather than wipe out these servers that these computers were routing through, the government just took them over, which makes no sense, and now tomorrow they're just going to shut them off.
Right. Well,
so it's like, what the hell? That's why it sounds more nefarious to me than just... Mm-hmm.
I say go for it. Absolutely go for it. I give me a reason to stare at a wall for a week and read a book.
That's what I'm saying.
A book without batteries.
Even if it doesn't kick us in particular off, hopefully it'll kick off a good majority of the fucking idiots that are stupid enough to go to the places
exactly.
to get these kind of viruses from.
Because that's what I thought. Because I was getting the message from idiots. And I thought, you know... These are the people who should have it.
Yeah, exactly. Who probably do, and we probably won't see them on Facebook for a week or two.
Yes, because really, business has been reduced to digital. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this. The internet went down a couple weeks ago, and pretty much everyone in the corporation, in the defabulous corporation, could not function. And it was interesting. Even I could not function. Although I had no problem switching off the computer and reading a book.
Well,
but
you could easily, with your hubby skills, reroute yourself to another country where there is internet.
True.
I, on the other hand, am not that smart.
Yes.
I mean, I probably could be, but I don't have the time to look it up now and figure it all out, considering tomorrow's the day. I just have to keep my fingers crossed and hope that, you know, the website that I checked my computer on... wasn't giving the virus out and was really telling me the truth. Supposedly, though, if you have it, Google will tell you. Whenever, if you go to google.com, like, some big thing will flash up on the screen and let you know that you're infected.
That's what and when I read that, I thought, well, I've seen nothing on Google. They're lying to me. But to quote Lurkalot, I can't wait to see how many idiots will wake up on Monday morning and realize they've got no internet because they were too busy downloading malware and spyware and virus that turn your computer into zombies to bother to care about protecting themselves on the internet. And
exactly
what I'm saying. But back to music for a second, because I just wanted to share in this show the quintessential point of what makes expression so hard on the internet, anywhere. It's about music licensing. It's the biggest blatant scam of all, and I know Karen is well aware, owner of Rainbow Mix Radio and fabulous DJ over there. You want to start a radio station? You want to start an internet radio station? There are so many hoops to jump through that it's impossible, it's ridiculous, it's a pain in the ass. There's three major licensing companies. If you're going to play music, you need pretty much 2 to 3 of these licenses, because the music you're going to play is pretty much licensed by these three licensing companies. You must record what you pay, what you play, and then you have to pay for it. You know, you got to keep a record. Oddly enough, they trust you to pay them for what you've played, and you swear by all that is that you've played these titles this week and you're paying this amount for that. A very odd honor system, especially knowing record companies.
Yeah, really.
There's the little-known 3-play rule, I believe it's 3, that you can only play 3 songs by a particular artist per, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, hour or 2 hours or show. But anyway, pretty much within your show, you should only play that artist 3 times, which I don't get at all. Why would you want to do that?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that, unless you're doing, like, I don't know, an hour of blocks of songs.
Right. And
by artists, well, why would you want to do that?
It's a, you know, your variety should be your business, first of all. But if you want to play, you know, an hour worth of Amy Winehouse, how is that, in fact, hurting Amy Winehouse?
Well, it's
other
not
than
at all
she's
now,
dead, right?
Because she's dead.
Bad example. But.
Lady Gaga, let's use
Okay, there you go. I play an hour worth of Lady Gaga, even though all her songs probably don't fit in an hour. Sorry, just kidding. But she's, you know, you play for her for an hour. She gets an hour worth of exposure on your station, which is apparently streaming to an amount of people. And if you're licensed, you pay for every song you've played. How is that a problem?
I don't understand it either. I mean, if you're already paying for it, right. What the hell? Why is there limits?
Not only have you promoted her, but you paid her for promoting her.
You would think
her.
They would want you to play it as much as you possibly can or, yep. You know, are willing to pay for her. So that really makes no sense.
And
they're ass backwards.
The artist gets, Karen saying, like a dime per play, per hour. You can play 3 from one album. One from another.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is only, and that's the other thing, is it's only the artists licensed by these companies. So if you were doing this right, you would know exactly what artists are on each label that you're paying. I mean, internet radio gets very muddled, especially from where I've come from, where people just play. And I feel that back then we should have been keeping, they should have kept better records, because, you know, what if I played someone who was not licensed by a certain company? Then I've illegally played them.
Right.
And nobody gets paid. It's very strange.
Well, it's just, it is, and it's even more strange because with the volume of people playing music on the internet, you know, because there's quite a few internet radio stations out there.
Yes.
Like, how do you even begin to police that?
And
like you said, it's a very weird honor system.
Exactly, and it isn't. It's an honor system. I don't hear about... Who hears anything about, you know, this privately owned internet radio station was audited by the whoever to find? They haven't been... They've only been playing for half of what they've been playing. Nobody does that. You just pay them. You just dump money in their direction so they leave you alone.
It's basically what it sounds like.
And what about, Karen, say, not only just that's U.S. artists. What about European artists, Australian, African? What about the independent artists who are on a label, but the label's independent? You got to get their permission first.
Or the independent artist who's just
independent
doing their own thing. on their own dime.
And then what level? And that's the other thing with it. It intermixes all sorts of expression in this example perfectly. Just like doing a magazine, doing a radio show, you need to get the person's permission to publish something they've said or play something they've done or show a photo that they've taken or that they own. And then, is an email good enough? Usually not. You know, they want documents and then it's a contract, because if you have a document, you need a contract. How many times am I going to play you? Is this only for that one time? Is this only for that one magazine? If I put you in this magazine, are you allowed to use this content later on? 2 months from now? 3 months from now? How long is the exclusive for me? When is the exclusive running out? When is it for somebody else? It's retarded. Pardon me.
It is retarded. It sounds retarded. And then were you telling me there's some other kind of loophole where, like, if you were to have somebody on or play somebody that isn't signed that later got signed?
Yes, because if they get signed and they get owned or pwned, you know, it depends on what happens with the music they produced at that time. And I guess it's a much looser loophole. But, you know, say Sony picks up, I think they picked up Anastasia back in the day, and she's a huge artist now, and she had some independent stuff. Or even Lady Gaga. What about all that, you know, piano bullshit she was playing before in the clubs, in some smoky bar? You know, do they, if she signs a contract giving them all her work, they then own all her work, and that means that if you played a song and it's retroactive, and they could probably still come after you, and since they're Sony, they might win, because they're just Sony.
They're Sony, exactly.
And that's when it comes the live versus podcast. Because live, we can do what we want. We're paying the license fees. We can play what we want. We can do what we're doing. But then you want to put it on a podcast. Well, this is where it's until forbid for our Fabulous D show. Because some of our shows of season before season 4 and some of the season 4s, they all had music in them. And they can't be podcasts because they have music for them. And just because we wanted to play some interesting music before and after breaks, we had to do away with the shows. Unless I want to go back and cut out interviews from, like, 50 shows per season. And we've lost some of our best interviews and some of our best times because we played 6 tracks during a 2-hour show.
That's awful.
It was a bad decision. But yet nobody tells you that, and then you sign up with a radio station, and they don't mention that. And that's the interesting thing, is that with the independent radio stations, if I had one, I'd be a nervous wreck. Because I have, 20 people under me playing whatever they choose, and doing with that whatever they wish. And I somehow feel liable, then, for what they're posting. I mean, what if somebody else posts as a podcast, and my station's name's all over it? That's not good.
Right. That is true, because anybody could listen and record it.
Absolutely.
Because and then later post it.
Then you're file sharing. Then you're sharing music that should be paid for, and you haven't paid that license, because there is no license for podcasting. It's don't do it because we said so.
So many damn hoops to jump through. I don't know. You're making it all sound like a big old pain in the ass.
It is a big old pain. And this is why it is repressing expression. Because they do this. They make it so difficult. And by the time you're done researching how to legally own an internet radio station, and all that it takes, and all the money to pay for the licenses and pay for the server, you don't want to do it. And then you've got to have bandwidth on your server, and you got to get your ISP to give you bandwidth, and they'll sell you bandwidth. But then if you've got certain ISPs like we do out here, you know, the conglomerates, those that you often hear about everywhere, they'll want to know why. And eventually they'll get down to it that, oh, you're a radio station in your house, and oh, you're playing music, and oh, are you licensed? And then they'll be in your business too. So not only is the IRAA in your business if you're playing the right music at the right time, paying the right licenses, but then also your ISP is wondering, what are you doing? Are you illegal? Can we get you for this as well? Can we shut you down for this as well? Hello.
Almost sounds scary.
It's
I think that's why we owe Miss Karen a big thank you.
We do. We owe everyone and every station we're on, especially Rainbow Mix Radio, a big thank you for taking care of all of that crap.
Definitely, because I wouldn't have the patience for it. I could tell you that right now. I think I would be totally exactly. frustrated and like you, pulling my hair out, worried.
Right. And that's why I look into it, and I'm like, nope, I can't do that. Because unless it's completely controlled, it can't be. Because somebody else's shit gets me in trouble. It's not good. My shit gets me in enough trouble. And we're looking like $150,000 per fine, per infraction. One album is worth apparently $2 million, according to Karen. And we don't even know what that means, but we just means that it, we know it's bullshit. It's crazy. It's bullshit and it's bad for us. And that's why the shows that I did play, I was always, because everyone says I have an eclectic taste, I have very interesting musical tastes. Everything I play, most people say they've never heard before. And it's not that I'm playing that much, you know, independent stuff. This is mainstream stuff, but it's out of Germany or something.
Right.
And I don't know how many people told me after these shows that, hey, I went and bought her whole album because I'd never heard that before, and it was awesome, you know. Nina Hagen, Pete Burns, these are people that they've never heard before, and they heard live with my show, and if my show had been a podcast with it, they would have heard it. How many more new listeners would have heard that eventually and said, oh my God, I now know who Nina Hagen is, and I'll go buy all that shit. It's not like I'm playing Lady Gaga.
Right.
But I'm still playing licensed shit, which is still
It's not like
a
you,
problem.
You know, just ripped off Big Brother either.
Exactly.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Big Brother, CBS is suing ABC.
The show, yes.
The show, okay. Big Brother. Because ABC just brought out their own version called The Glass House.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, we watched it, the first three episodes, just to see. Because I was like, you know, I'm a Big Brother fan. And I don't like it. It's not, I don't know. It's just different. But it's like there's this whole big legal thing going on now because it is. It's almost an exact copy of Big Brother, just on a different network, different people. And I swear all these people that are on this show I've seen before on TV somewhere.
Wow.
Like they're all actors. But speaking of Big Brother, that starts this week.
Yay.
Yay. Good thing I don't have cable, so I can't get like too wrapped up in it. Probably going to miss most of it.
Good thing I don't have cable, so it doesn't enrage me.
I love how some of what I love enrages you.
Well, because it's on television, it usually enrages me.
I don't, is it the show that enrages you or the television?
Well, with this topic, both, because I do not like American Big Brother.
I've never gotten to see the
Celebrity Big Brother UK back in the day. Now, that was it. That was where it was happening. Today, not so much. And I just like originals. I like the original.
I was late to the Big Brother party.
I just wish that, and that's where it comes to in this topic, is that people who take an idea, the neo-postmodernists, which you can go back to the Frank Cotullo show that I did, the Fabulous D show that I did with Frank Cotullo on neo-postmodernism, which is still on the website, and that's where we started a lot of this groundwork talking about this topic, because the question is then, you know, that's why stealing versus neo-postmodernism. You don't take my book, tear off the cover, and put your own on. That's not good. But you take my book, you read it, you're inspired by it, you write your own book. There are pieces of me in that book. There are pieces of Big Brother in Glass House.
Right.
Exactly. You are allowed.
That was the whole thing. There's an executive producer on the Glass House that used to work for Big Brother.
And that's the line. It may be a pile of bullocks, really, that it is the same. You know, and that's the debate through history is someone took my stuff and made their own, and it's exactly the same, but it's different. And that's where the courts say, but it's different.
And that's exactly what the court's doing with Big Brother. They're like, no, it's different. Because apparently America votes for everything that these people in this house will do. Mm. Whereas
and it's
Big
not
Brother,
called
obviously.
Big Brother, and it's not Big Brother.
It's not.
Even Big though Brother. It is Big Brother, but that doesn't matter.
It's Little Brother.
It's Glass House.
It's Big Sister.
Exactly. And how many times does this happen, especially in modern-day television? One steamrolls the other with the same concept, different name, same producer. It doesn't matter. And that's where that's exactly where this is going.
Oh, I know. It's just like I just started watching a show called Revenge that apparently came out last fall. And it's like a total cross between Once Upon a Time and Haven. Just like they took those two shows and just smashed them together and boom. Revenge. But I see a lot of it on TV. I really do.
And it's all about money. And I think everyone in chat and everyone in messengers right now is very clear on that. It's all about money. And not the artist's money, but the handler's money. And the other thing is like photography. Now, I know a lot of photographers. I'm sure that they will shake their fist at me for this. But I don't find a problem with ripping off the photo. I mean, not without credit, but if you're going to use it, it's the same thing as music, you know, and photographers are very, very protective over their work. And if
they
really need to watermark that shit better because otherwise it will be taken.
Exactly.
It's exactly the same as everything else, but they seem very, very intent on protecting their work, and they get the most upset about it. And I understand, it's their livelihood, and if it is your livelihood, you better watermark it to hell. But I just don't know, there's still, you know, you're giving someone an image, and it's like Tumblr. You know, all they care about is shiny, pretty. They're not stealing your work. All they say is, ooh, shiny, pretty. I want to show this to my friends, this amazing-looking, radical photo that you've taken. And they're not going to credit you for it because they don't give a shit. They're not buying it. They're not paying you for it. They don't care. But your stuff has leaked out there.
Right.
And if you've let it leaked out there without a watermark on it, then it should be kind of free reign because you just can't control people.
That happened to me once. I took a picture of somebody who was slightly famous at the time and known for being a drug addict and, like, usually being very disheveled. And the picture that I got, he was actually very healthy and clean-looking. And I posted it online, and everybody thought that this other famous photographer took the picture. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. So I understand the feeling, but I didn't make a big deal out of it. Like, I didn't think it... Like, my friends made a bigger deal out of it than I did. They were like, no, he did not take that picture. I know who took that picture, and, you know. Mm-hmm. But I at least took that picture with film, so I have the negative somewhere.
Right.
And that's, like, for a photographer... And that's what sucks for the digital photographer, mm-hmm. is that you don't have that film, that negative anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, you have EXIF data and all that shit, but people know how to remove that too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is an editing program.
And that's the weird thing about Tumblr that baffles me, is that here we are in the height of internet piracy, not allowed to share anything, and here comes Tumblr, this massive network of people just cross-posting photos, copyrighted photos, everywhere.
I know, that makes no sense. And then they're altering them, putting on these little memes and shit.
And especially that. I mean, that goes even beyond. Because, you know, posting it's bad enough, then, oh my God, they wrote on it. And people would have an issue with that. And that's like infringement to the max, but yet they're perfectly... Nobody's made a peep about it. I'm not sure if it's because they're so confused. I mean, you like... Boring people can't get into Tumblr. you know, they're not really into it. They don't understand what's going on. So all they see is this menagerie of photos. But it's really, they should be after it just like the music thing. Oh my God. But then, yet again, they understand that it's promoting. So there's this odd line of like, yes, I can leak it. It's okay. How many Lady Gaga things were leaked at her will? And that was good. But yet, if somebody else leaks it, oh, that's bad.
You know, yeah. If you're, and artists do that all the time, leak their shit early to promote it.
Absolutely.
And that never made much sense to me.
No. And I did ask, since we've discussed him several times tonight, Brett Gleason, I did email him earlier this morning asking his opinion on this. Apparently, with music licensing, he's not even gotten his feet wet with it, so he doesn't even know what a horrible place it is for music licensing in the music industry, because he's independent, he's doing his own thing. He doesn't get involved with that right now. He should, but and that he said, I suppose that's kind of the point. It is kind of the point, because independent people should not get messed up in that. I mean, because then their $10 goes down to 99 cents.
From what I hear, it costs about $150 to copyright an album that you create.
And that's why I never understood. When I was writing books that I wanted desperately to copyright, and I looked into that, and it's like the copyright government place tells you, you don't have to pay anything for this. But if you'd like the little symbol, you have to pay for it.
Right, exactly. So
it's copyrighted for free. But yet you can also copyright it for money. And you have the choice. So, which one are you going to choose?
Free.
And Brett said he's not a fan of people illegally taking music. But, you know, he's leaked things. He's given away things for free. He prefers to be the controller of that, you know, through contests and such. But yet then you lose control of that because he has a contest giving away a free track, but what does that person do with it? Hey, I got this great track.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
Listen to this. Yeah. And then he gets the exposure. So, you know, it sounds like he's kind of on the fence too, as far as that, because he understands definitely that exposure of free stuff equals more exposure and more people, but he wants to get paid for it too. So I'm sure he's suffering like the rest of us as far as, you know, how do I give it away for free and get him to pay for the milk? It's a damn good question.
It really is.
And I think that's, you know, you've just got to have the hot chest that Brett Gleason has and do a Coca-Cola ad. That will pay his bills.
I know. I'm still trying to get Tone to take his shirt off.
It's all right. We'll get there.
Keep telling him. It seems to be where the money's at.
It is.
Do it.
Porn is where. Shy. Porn is where it is.
He's shy.
He's shy. And I had an article here about porn, and about because that's another thing that you know because I've been in everything. I have been in every freaking aspect of like media distribution. So I've had to read up on it, and it has pushed me down, held me back every single time. Because even porn, sure, you're free to make a porn site, you're free to have people on that site, you can distribute movies, you can have people pay for movies, but do you have the right warning label up? Are you documenting the traffic that you're getting that to make sure they're 18 plus, and all this other shit that they can get you on? And there's just so much shit. And in every genre, you just continually ask yourself, you know, is it worth it? And then if it is worth it and you're trying to do it, it's like, you know, you're doing one legal thing, but there's always something else that they can get you for.
I know.
And it's a
always
terribly disturbing conversation.
Well, yeah, because apparently the list is so long. It's like, I don't know. They'll always find a loophole. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do everything by the book and somehow they will still find something. And if they don't find it, They'll make it up.
It's exactly like the mafia dude, the really, really well-known dude that I can't think of his name right now, but, you know, he killed many people. He did many wrong things, very bad things. They could not pin it on him. So they put him away for tax fraud. You know, It had nothing to do with any of his injustices, but they still got him because it's that let's just find something mentality.
Is that Al Capone?
I think it may have been.
I think so, too.
And we will be back on the Fabulous D Show with a little bit more before we go. So hang in there. It's the Artist D on the Fabulous D Show.
You're listening to the Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio.
This episode of the Fabulous D Show is brought to you in part by the following.
Want more commentary and Easter eggs throughout the week? Fuck the Easter Bunny. Sign up for the Diva newsletter at theartistd.com.
Every eye shall see, every ear shall hear. Those with lips shall speak. It is coming soon.
For Culture Magazine. Art, music, literature, opinion. These are the four pillars of culture that create the world we live in. For Culture seeks to bring the artists out of the dark and into the light.
Calling all artists.
We're joining in support of those who are creating the culture of tomorrow.
It is coming soon.
For Culture Magazine, calling all artists.
It is here.
Coming live from an undisclosed location.
Location.
Transcesting.com presents the KLR Radio Show with transgender diva DJ Miss Kayla Rock. Let's go. Reaching out and uniting the transgender community with the power of dance music. For more info and to find out what's on Kelly's radio show, please visit transtastic.com/radio.
Where'd your lane go? It's 6 feet to the left.
It's the Fabulous D-Show with the amazing artist D and Extra Smooth Vanilla Child. Right here on transtastic.com. And oh, for the love of unicorns, here they come.
And we're back on the Fabulous D-Show. Fuck those unicorns. Thank you, Charles. It's the Artist Dean Vanilla Child. Wrapping up an Until Forbid show. Good God. What have we learned? The IRAA sucks as well as music licensing companies and other companies.
Copywriting period. Sucks.
Yes. The law should be don't take my shit and duplicate and sell as your own, period. How you promote me? Hell, fuck, promote me.
Right?
Am I going to sue you for putting my face in your magazine without you asking me? No. No. I'm going to keep you from putting me in the hands of millions of people? Please.
Hell no.
Hell no. Our fabulous footnote tonight is dedicated to transtastic.com. It is the Facebook for transgender men, women, brothers, sisters, lovers.
They have so much better, though.
So much better and so much more. Fabulous. They have an active community, thousands of bloggers, along with great features like chat, private messaging, enormous forums, and Transtastic Radio, baby, as they say, which we happen to be a part of fabulously, along with Kelly LaRock, Fiona Cole, and some others coming very soon.
Yay.
Speaking of Transtastic, Sparkle, the Earth's largest transgender gathering, starts this coming Friday, July 13th, in Manchester.
Yay! Fuck us for not being in Britain.
I know. And not being able to go at the whim.
That sucks.
I should be able to borrow Trump's jet and just go.
Would have been cool if they would have mixed Sparkle with the Queen's Jubilee.
It would be a sparkly jubilee.
with a lot of sparkly queens.
And she... Well, that's why they couldn't do it. It would overshadow the queen.
Exactly.
With more queens.
Too many queens spoil the pot.
Exactly. But it is the eighth year, and it's huge. If you're anywhere near that country, and especially Manchester, you should absolutely, fabulously swing your ass by. Say hello to our friends. Becky Cannons will be there. Stacey Novak, Shane, of course, Bella J will be flawlessly fabulating about the entire weekend. I will be there in spirit.
As will I.
And will also be in their purse.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, and that's a clue, people. It's a clue.
Club cards.
Yes, so you want to go to Sparkle, and you want to look in your purse once you get there. I just picture, like, 6,000 transgender people looking in their purse at once.
Like, where's that? Yeah, because once you get there, we are going to fabulously zap something into your purse.
Exactly. And then Becky will bop you with it on their head, and she'll be like, here, for God's sakes. It's right here. On that note, we've got to get going, Vanilla Child.
Already?
I know, already. Next week, we have and welcome Miss Velvet Steele, Canada's number one transsexual dominatrix. Velvet was on HBO's hit series Kink, and we'll be on to talk about the life of a dom, one of my favorite subjects.
Oh, I know. I know how excited you are for this. I am too.
Dying.
Especially after seeing the website. So excited.
Absolutely. So you'll want to tune in next week for that. It's the Fabulous D Show every Sunday at 7 p.m. EST, 12 a.m. GMT, or BST, streaming live on rainbowmixradio.com, simulcast on Transtastic Radio at transtastic.com, downloadable, iPodable, everythingable, until forbid, at theartistd.com. Thank you, Vanilla Child.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you, everybody listening. We shall see you next week.
We shall. Do you have your guns, graffiti, and gender? Well,
always.
I certainly hope so. If you don't, you go get them, because your world is melting. Express yourself to death. I am the Artist D. Good night.